I never noticed they turn the lights up when I come up here. Hi. How is everyone? Jesus. That name strike a bell? Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, name above all names. Beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us. Blessed Redeemer, living Word, Jesus. Think about that name for a moment. Because there are a lot of names that are given to this person named Jesus in the Bible. The prophets refer in many different ways. In Isaiah 7:14, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Matthew tells us clearly that, I'm quoting that passage of Scripture, Emmanuel means God with us. Simple aspect of God. Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. Isaiah prophesied 800 some years before Jesus was born, for a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace, and there will be no end to the increase of his government or his kingdom or peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it, to hold it up with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of God, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, will accomplish this. List could go on. An endless list. He was called the Messiah, Rose of Sharon, Star of Jacob, the Bright and Morning Star, the Great Physician, God's Anointed One, Word of God, Chief Cornerstone, I Am, Dayspring, the Alpha and the Omega, the Great Shepherd, the Son of Man, the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, the Ancient of Days, the Rock, the Vine, and on and on and on. It could go. I got to think about it for a moment. As I shared with you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who give us an overview of Jesus' life and the whole context of Scripture, how in the world would these men in and of themselves come up with such unbelievable identifying factors about a man named Jesus and give him all these titles? And they must have really got together in a big committee back then, you know, and come together in the upper room and said, well, let's write some books. And while we're doing that, let's make sure we come up with every name possible that could be identifying that this one whose name Jesus would be known as the Messiah, the Son of God, on and on, on and on. You see, in Matthew 1, chapter 21, the angel of the Lord said to Joseph, the child that is in her, that is Mary, has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. She shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name, say it, you shall call his name Jesus. Come on. His people, and he will save his people from his sin. The word name Jesus means Savior. Did you know that? He will save his people from their sins. But then it goes on and says that God kept her, Mary, a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and she called him Jesus. Wow. All through the Scriptures and the Gospels, it became Jesus. Jesus taught this. Jesus went up into the mount. Jesus healed this and this and this. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus foretells of his death and resurrection. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the door of the shepherd herd. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth and the life. Jesus this, Jesus that, Jesus. Name above every name. It's all about Jesus, isn't it? Huh? It's all about Jesus, people. It's all about Jesus. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. Fills my every longing and keeps me singing all day long. You know how many songs have been written about this one person? Hundreds. Hundreds upon hundreds of songs have been written to emphasize the name of Jesus. How many other people do you know over history has had that many songs written about him? Not just songs, beautiful songs. Songs with message, songs with hope, songs with reality, songs that just touches the human heart, songs that even bring tears to the heart, to the mind, and to the soul, because they reach inside of us, to the depths of us. That name, Jesus. On Pentecost, when Peter preached to the Jews for the first time, they're standing there listening as they have gathered for the Feast of Pentecost, and Acts 2:36, Peter said, "These, therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." That's where it all began, wasn't it? Church on Pentecost, what did he do? He preached Jesus. He preached Jesus. Acts 4:12, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, "There is salvation and no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus, name above all names. The name that has rung down through the years of history and has made history what it is in so many different areas of our lives. So we remember in our text this morning and Philippians chapter 2 and following simply says that because Jesus humbled himself, took unto himself the fashion of a man and became like us, and humbled himself to death, even the death of the cross, then it says, God, therefore, highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. Every name. So that at the name of Jesus, someday, every knee is going to bow. Of those heaven and those on earth and those below the earth. Did you hear that? Tartarus, the place of torment, paradise is in the earth. Heaven is where God is right now. But everyone and everyone is going to be raised and come to the glory aspect of the throne of God, the great white throne in Revelation. And every knee is going to bow to this one called Jesus. I would suggest to you that if you really understand the process of that and who he is as God's son, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, it would be best that you bow before him now and confess his name before men. Because if you confess the name Jesus before men, he will confess your name to his Father. Of these who are in heaven and earth, every aspect of human race, can you imagine that someday? How many of you work in the secular workplace? Huh? Several of you? Okay. How many times a day do you hear Jesus? Huh? You know, if there was no one named Jesus, why did man continually with his own lips curse him, use his name in vain? Have you ever thought about it? There's something powerful about this name that every time somebody hurts his thumb, does whatever, it's Jesus this and Jesus that. Maybe you don't think about things like that, but I thought about them ever since I was a little boy. Because this little name, Jesus, is such an important aspect of my life. The first song I ever heard my grandmother Phelps, my dad's stepdad's mother, play was "On an Old Rugged Cross." She played that song. And I sat there and I listened to her sing it. She sang that first song. That's the first gospel song I ever heard. And it really began to raise the curiosity within this young man, little guy, who this Jesus was. And so when the Gideons came to our little country school, gave us a flannel graph. I remember the flannel graph. It was on David and Goliath. Who else? And they gave us this little burgundy Bible, New Testament and Psalms. Okay? Every day. Every day. And sometimes for hours, I would be in that little Bible, reading it, beginning to the end. And through the process of that, because you see, except we all become as it is, little, young, whatever, that name became very precious to me. It got me through my alcoholic family, got me through a lot of different things. It got me through school, got me in the aspect, because I had never become a Christian yet, but this one thing I did. When I was playing sports, I always went by myself to the locker room somewhere, and I prayed to Jesus. I prayed to him that he'd help me be and be the best I could be on the floor, that I wouldn't swear, I wouldn't get mad, I wouldn't use my temper, all because I read a little burgundy Bible given by the Gideons. Now, don't tell me there's not power in the name Jesus, but it has an unbelievable impact on my life. It caused me to excel, to want to be something, to work hard, to discipline myself. And to this day, I'm not bragging, to this day, I have never taken the name Jesus in vain, never swore. In fact, I remember my cousins trying to get me to swear. They pick on me. Come on, swear, say, and they'd quote the name, you know, and whatever, and Tatra. Amazing, isn't it? There's something about that name, people. If you know Jesus, you know the name, then you know there's something wonderful about that name. Something wonderful. Three words, the aspects of that. His name will be called Jesus, all right? Three principal, powerful words. Jesus is indeed the aspect of our salvation. Jesus is our high priest. Jesus Christ is our everything. He needs to be our everything in our lives. In fact, the Hebrew writer said, fix your eyes upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's what he said. Do you know that the aspect of that is unbelievable? As you and I think of Jesus speaking into the future to his disciples, you remember in John chapter 16, he made something very plain, very clear, very precise. You know what he said? He said, you're going to be able to ask anything in my name, and it will be done for you. Speaking of the future, Jesus said, there's a day coming where you'll take and use my name to approach the God of heaven, the Creator, and you'll use my name and have the authority, if you will, to enter into the very presence of God and ask. You'll be able to go before him and approach him in every way possible, but you will do it by the authority of my name. In Jesus' name, we are able today to go into the very presence of God, into the holy place, and ask for his help, for his mercy, and whatever else there is. And because of who he is, Jesus, God hears us, doesn't he? And answers according to his will. It goes far beyond that. We know that Jesus Christ was anointed by God to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when you were scripturally baptized into Christ, you not only had your sins washed away through the blood of Jesus Christ, you received an anointing from God. That anointing was the gift and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Only two people God anointed. One was the king, the other was the priest. The king and the priest. Well, Peter says that we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Not just a priesthood. One with royalty. Okay? And because that, we have been anointed by God through the Holy Spirit, we have the authority in Jesus' name to approach the creator of the universe. Isn't that mad? That mean anything to you? If it wasn't for that name, right? Remember in Acts 2:38, when Peter stood before the Jews after he said, "The same Jesus you have crucified," they cried out, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in Jesus' name for the remission of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit." You remember Cornelius' household, when the Holy Spirit came upon them to prove that the Gentiles were now to be received as well as the Jews. Peter said, "Now who of you can forbid them water that they may be baptized?" And he commanded them in Jesus' name to be baptized. Acts 19, Paul meets some of the disciples of John the Baptist. "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed?" "Haven't even heard he's been given." "Then why were you baptized?" "Under John's baptism." "Okay." You know what he did then? He commanded them in Jesus' name to be baptized. What a man. Well, it meant in the authority of Jesus. Okay? You don't get baptized because some church teaches it or some preacher preaches it. You are immersed because Jesus commanded it. Jesus said in Mark 15 and 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Imperative tense, commanded. Okay? So when I submit, who am I submitting to? Jesus. And when I am being immersed, by what authority am I being immersed? Because Jesus commanded it. And by that authority of his name, baptized in Jesus' name, the Father will then fulfill his promise. God promises to wash away our sins. God promises to come in the person of the Holy Spirit and make our body his temple and to dwell in us. All of that is because of the power of one person whose name was Jesus. Remember, God highly exalted him, gave him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow someday. Jesus. And because of that, you and I can enter into the very presence of God anytime you want to. God is just one prayer away from any of us. You know that? Huh? Just say in your heart, "Father, in Jesus' name, I'm coming. I'm approaching you." Pretty simple, isn't it? But pretty powerful, isn't it? Isn't it? Isn't it? You notice that's Jesus' name. It isn't some man's name. It isn't some individual's name. It isn't some whoever they think they may be or whoever. No, it's in the name of the one who is declared by God himself, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." Hear him, Jesus. So we sing songs, we sing messages, we sing hymns, we worship him. We come here today because we love him. Because he first loved us and laid his life down for us. And he just simply asked us to come and remember. You know why that's important? You know how many people think they're going to get saved by their good works? They're going to get saved by being a good neighbor. They're going to go to heaven because they have never done this, never done that. I'm not as bad as so-and-so and so and so forth. We do this because this message is, he took the cup, and he blessed it. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is given for you for the remission of your sins." You know what he said? Yeah, he did. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Fills my every longing. He's me singing as I go. How about you? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like a fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about that name. Have you confessed that name? Have you stated with your heart, mouth, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Remember the eunuch? Traveling as it was, as Philip joined the chariot with him and started preaching from Isaiah, the prophet, foretelling Jesus being slaughtered like a lamb, opening not his mouth, and wanted to know who in the world the writer is speaking of, himself or some other man. And Philip began at that passage, and he simply preached unto him Jesus. Came unto a body of water. Eunuch said, here's water. What doth unto me to be baptized? And Philip simply said, if you believe, you may. And what did he say? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God. If you believe that and you've never been immersed into Christ and you want to know more about that aspect, that's okay. But we can show you in the biblical text why God has commanded us to be immersed, baptized for the remission of our sins. The water doesn't wash away your sins. The blood does. The blood of Christ washes away sins. And God promises that in baptism, he'll apply the blood of his Son to your sins, wash them as it can be. That's why Ananias comes to Saul and said, Saul, why are you waiting? What are you tearing about? Arise and be baptized, washing away your sin, calling on the name of the Lord. Something about that name, isn't it? Wonderful name, powerful name. And we're here because of that name. We're going to go to heaven because of that name. You know that? Yes, we are. So let's stand together. You need to make a decision. Would like to know more, let me know. But let's sing this beautiful song, His Name is Wonderful.